Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. Classic comedy coming up in this hour. Later on, we'll hear the final broadcast of The Jack Carson Show. But right now, an episode of Bob Hope from April Fool's Day, 1953 on NBC.
The Bob Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Thank you very much.
Not too much, it sounds phony. Say, did you read in the papers that the Hollywood stars are now putting their money into cattle ranches? Well, it's true. Gregory Peck, Jack Benny, Rosalind Russell, Gene Kelly, they all bought cattle ranches, and Jack Benny has already proved he's a natural-born farmer. He has his cows given milkshakes. True. Of course, the cows are a little dizzy when they crawl out of the washing machine. But I wish Jack wouldn't mix his farming with his laundry business. Yesterday, my shorts came back not only clean, but homogenized. Of course, Bing started the whole thing with his ranch in Nevada. Actually, his ranch isn't in Nevada. Nevada's on his ranch. He's giving Reno 24 hours to get out. Bing likes owning Nevada, though. Together with Texas, it makes such a nice set. And you'll find Bing on his ranch every summer, just sitting around branding his money. Of course, Bing has other investments. The Pittsburgh Pirates, Gary. He has a lot of stuff. By the way, if any of you are wondering why I've left out the Crosby Foundation, that isn't really an investment. The way he's built, it's an absolute necessity. One day he forgot to wear one and the price of blubber dropped 12 cents a pound. But you probably know that many movie personalities have outside investments. Phil Harris is starting a chain of supermarkets in Beverly Hills. Robert Cummings is going to manufacture men's gabardine jackets. Georgie Jester used to manufacture men's pants until the bottom fell out. And I have a piece of the Cleveland Indians, but the Indians had some tough breaks last year. In fact, if we hadn't sold some pottery in those blankets, we'd have lost money, believe me. Here's Margaret Whiting, who will be assisted by Les Brown and his gypsies doing I'm Walking Behind You.
Behind you on your wedding day, and I'll hear you promise to love and obey, though you may forget. Maybe I'll kiss again with a love that's new, but I shall wish again I was kissing you. Over your
gentlemen, Bob has plans to produce his own picture in Europe. And, of course, with a project this big, Bob needs help. Now we find him entering the office of the top executive producer at Paramount Studios.
Oh, hello, Mr. Freeman.
Well, Bob Hope, come right in. So nice to see you. Sit down here. Have a cigar. Can I get you a drink? Relax. Put your feet up on my desk. Make yourself at home.
Boy, did that Road to Bally make money.
Yes, and your new picture is a very big hit, too. Look at these box office reports. Chicago, $42,000 in 3 days. Cincinnati, $38,000. New York, $54,000. Oh, you're the fair-haired boy around here, Robert.
I'm the only one with hair. Say, Mr. Freeman. Thank you very much for all those kind words.
Now, tell me, is there anything we can do for you?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is, Mr. Freeman. I'm going to make a picture in Europe, and I'd like to borrow some money from you. I want you to lend me $1.5 million.
$1.5 million, eh?
Hmm? Well, I see you're still smiling.
Sure. $1.5 million sounds like big money to some people, but not to us. Now, I don't have the authority to lend you that kind of money, Bob. But since you've driven over here, I'll tell you what I can do.
What's that?
I'll be glad to validate your parking ticket.
Gee, thanks. Say, what's the matter, Mr. Freeman? Don't you like the idea of me making an independent picture?
Well, Bob, you've made a lot of pictures lately. Why go off to Europe to make another one? No, take it easy. You deserve a rest.
But I don't want to take it easy.
Well, then think of your fans.
Well, what about them?
They deserve a rest, too. I don't understand, Bob. What is it that drives you? What's the spark, the force that keeps you working, working, working?
The Bureau of Internal Revenue. You see, Mr. Freeman, I've got to make a picture in Europe. You don't have anything scheduled for me here.
Well, not right now, Bob. We're converting the studio to the three-dimension technique.
Oh, I can't wait to see myself.
Yes. This new process will do wonders for you, Bob. That nose of yours will have a whole dimension to itself.
Thank you.
Give up this idea. Making a picture in Europe can be very expensive.
No, not the way I'm doing this picture. This is going to be a musical picture, and instead of taking the chorus girls from here, I'm going to stop in Paris and pick out 10 or 12 beautiful French girls.
Well, there you are, Bob. That'll take you a week or two.
It'll take me a month.
A month? Why?
I'm a slow picker.
Well, Bob, I'm sorry we can't finance your picture, but good luck anyway.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Freeman. See you later.
Goodbye, Bob.
Hey, where have you been, Bob?
Hiya, Bill.
Yeah, we've been waiting for you.
Oh, I stopped in at Paramount, Maggie. There's not much doing over there, but guess where I'm going to make my next picture?
Where?
In Europe.
Why don't you make your picture here?
To tell you the truth, Maggie, sometimes I feel that Paramount has never caught the real me.
What's to catch?
Yes, I'm fairly intelligent, rather witty. I have a fine sense of drama. I'm clever, talented, personable, and a genuine all-around good egg.
Bob, how long have you been going steady with you?
Maybe I did exaggerate a little, but you know, I must have something in the ball or I wouldn't have won that Oscar.
Oh, no, not again.
Put your shoes on, Maggie. This is where we came in.
Anyway, I'm very enthusiastic about doing a picture in Europe. I'm going right ahead with it.
Well, have you cast it yet, Bob? Who's going to play opposite you?
Well, that's the big question, Bill. I've made pictures with Jane Russell, Virginia Mayo, Dorothy L'Amour, Marilyn Maxwell. Who can I get this time? Who would look right playing opposite me in a big love scene?
Gabby Hayes?
No, his beard tickles. No, I don't think so. No, I did meet somebody who would make a wonderful leading lady for this picture. She's very talented.
Who's that, Bob?
Ann Baxter.
Oh, she's a wonderful actress. Have you talked to Ann Baxter about it yet?
No, but I think I'd better before someone else signs her for a picture. Bill, hand me that phone. If she's home, I can go right over there and see her. Gee, Ann, you certainly have a lovely home.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm glad you like
there.
It.
No, I've never seen so many beautiful paintings and so many books. This is certainly a fine edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Oh, I'm proud of my paintings. I have a Watteau, a Renoir, a Monet, a Corot, and a Picasso. You're familiar with Picasso, of course.
Oh, I don't know very much about him, except that Picasso is looked upon as the founder of Cubism in 1907, later returned a more realistic formula, which he continued until 1930, at which time he resumed painting in the neoclassical style.
Why, Bob!
I bet you thought I was reading you.
Why, Bob, I... I really am surprised. I suppose you're also very familiar with Watteau.
Not so fast. Give me time to turn the page.
I'll show you some of these paintings, Bob, if you're interested.
Say, this next painting is a real dilly, Ann.
Yes, well, that's a good example of contemporary surrealism with a strong futuristic theme.
Oh, man, what a picture. A banjo wearing a red toupee. Wrapped in a purple electric blanket, standing on top of the Empire State Building.
Do you like it?
Yes, I didn't know Jerry Lewis had time to paint.
You know, Bob, I was quite surprised to get your phone call. Are you really making a movie in Europe?
That's right, Ann. I was hoping I could interest you in doing it with me.
Well, I thought you made all your pictures for Paramount, Bob. Don't they have you tied up?
Only during the love scenes. What do you say, Ann? Do you think you could go abroad for a couple of months?
Well, I'd have to know more about it before I make up my mind, Bob. Who's going to produce the picture?
I am.
And write it?
Me.
How about the director?
I'll direct the picture, and of course I'll star in it.
Oh, I can hardly wait till opening night.
Why?
I want to see you selling the popcorn in the lobby. What's the picture about, Bob?
Oh, you'll love it. In the first big musical scene, 20 beautiful French chorus girls dance across the stage doing the can-can. In the next musical number, there's going to be 30 beautiful chorus girls.
Well, what's the story, Bob?
Oh, I won't know till I talk to the girls.
Oh, no.
I think it'd be wonderful in a straight dramatic story.
You do, huh?
Yes, it's about time you made a picture with realistic human value. Why not do a story of love, hate, greed, jealousy, passion, cruelty, lust, and murder?
Sounds like fun. The stories like that aren't easy to find.
Of course they are. Good stories are everywhere. Take the artists who painted these pictures here on these walls. They all had interesting dramatic lives.
Say, maybe you've got something. Moulin Rouge was a big hit. Why couldn't I make a successful picture about an artist?
Oh, it'd be exciting, Bob.
Sure, it would have authenticity, power, drama.
Wonderful.
Real action, color, excitement.
Great.
And of course, it would have me as the star.
Well, no picture is perfect.
And here is Maggie Whiting with the assistance of the Band of Renown, Les Brown, doing Till I Waltz Again with You. Come in, Maggie.
Till I waltz again with you, let no other hold your charm. If my dream should all come true, you'll be waiting for my arms. Till I kiss you once again, keep my love locked in your heart. Darling, I'll return them then. We will never have to part. Though it may break your heart and mine, the minute when it's time to go, remember, dear, each word divine that meant I love you so. Till I waltz again with you, just the way we are tonight, I will keep my promise true. For you are my guiding light. I will keep my promise true till I waltz again with you.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Bill.
How did you make out with Ann Baxter? Is she going to do the picture with you in Europe?
Yeah, the deal is almost all set, and it's going to be a very different picture. I'm going to do the life of a famous artist.
Oh, sounds good, Bob.
Yeah, I can just see myself as an artist. Even someone as great as Vincent Van Gogh. Painting, studying, turning out great masterpieces.
Paris, the end of the 19th century. One of the struggling young painters of this era was Vincent Van Hope, who as a child had started out with finger painting.
Yes, I was so enthusiastic about finger painting, I couldn't stop. I went on and painted my toes and arms and legs. So.
The young artist Vincent Van Hope led a drab, uneventful existence until one day a beautiful woman came to his studio.
How do you do?
Oh, she was lovely. She had Titian hair, a Rubens head, a Rembrandt body, and the whole thing was hydramatic. She looked at me and said,
Vincent Van Hope?
That's right.
You are a painter?
That's what it says in the front of my beret. What is your pleasure, mademoiselle?
Well, I'm an American. I've just bought a large home here in Paris, and I'd like to buy some paintings.
Indeed. How does this happen you came to me?
Well, I heard that most of the painters in Paris are eccentric fools and idiots, and someone gave me your name and address.
Merci.
What type of painting do you do?
Oh, I am a modern. I use only the colors strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
I'm thinking of commissioning someone to paint me. Do you also do portrait work?
Oui. I would love to paint someone as beautiful as you. I have painted the Duchess of Shropshire, the Earl of Exbrook, Lord and Lady Carruthers, the Duke of Northumberland, and Mel Tremé.
What else do you have to show me?
Oh, I have many other paintings, but what do you think of those you've seen so far?
Shall I be frank?
Of course.
I think your work establishes a new high of tawdry, flamboyant, garish mediocrity.
Gee, and I thought I wasted all those years going to art school.
This landscape here, did you paint it?
Oh, yes. What do you think?
Well, I must admit you've done quite well. Your colors here, this is a very brilliant green grass.
Thank you, merci.
To get the grass so green, did you use a brush and oil?
No, just Vigoro and a spray gun. Quite a joke. Get it? It made the grass grow.
It made the corn grow, too.
Well, mademoiselle, is there something here you would like for your home?
I haven't decided yet. Do you have anything more to show me?
Well, if you're looking for a bargain, I have a painting here that's damaged. A leak in the roof made the watercolors run. I painted Marie Antoinette standing beside her favorite hunting pony, and then we had a big storm.
What happened?
It came out Lady Godiva riding a Cocker Spaniel.
I think I have seen enough. Au revoir, monsieur.
Vincent, I must talk to you.
Go away, Andre.
You must listen to me, Vincent. I am your best friend. You must paint again. It is 3 months now.
I can't help it. I'm in love with the American girl. Whenever I look, I see her face.
Oh, Vincent.
In the fireplace, she looks at me from the flames. In the shadows, she is there. Today at lunch, I had some Swiss cheese, and her face was in every hole.
Vincent, my friend, you must not go to pieces. You've got to paint that picture right away.
Why should I?
I haven't taken a picture of yours to the dealers in so long, they've forgotten what your work is like. It's a great time to sell them one.
It's no use, Andre. I am too unlucky to sell a painting. All my luck is bad.
Oh, don't think that way. Look at Gainsborough. He became instantly famous with one picture, The Blue Boy.
That's what I mean, Andre. I painted that same boy, but I painted him the day before he turned blue. Oh, if only I were a rich, successful artist, I could go to the beautiful American girl and ask her to marry me.
You can be famous, my friend.
How?
You could be a great success like Rubens, Boucher, Goya, if you painted women. That's what the public wants. Romance.
Well, what's wrong with the things I'm painting now?
Your subjects are too dull. Look at this painting here. Pickled herring peeking through an onion ring. What's romantic about that?
It is to another pickled herring. But why discuss it? Go away, Andre. Leave me alone.
Oh, Vincent, are you so in love with this American girl?
Oh, if I could only see her, talk to her.
Why don't you go to her house?
I tried that. The butler won't let me in the front door. And at the back door, there's a cook and 6 maids.
Won't they let you in?
Yeah, but after I'm inside, I can never remember what I went there for.
Oh, Vincent, my poor friend, there is one thing you can do. Work hard. Become famous. Make her sorry that she has broken your heart.
Oh, I took Andre's advice. I painted day and night, night and day, day and night, until my hands trembled and my eyes were two burning coals. Every time I blinked, I started a brush fire in my eyebrows. But I succeeded beyond my fondest dreams. I bought the most magnificent home in Paris. It was on the left bank of the Seine and the right bank of the Seine. That saved me putting in a bathtub. During all these years, I never saw the American girl. Then one day, I went to Maxime's for lunch.
Bonjour, Monsieur Van Hope.
Bonjour, Francois. My usual table, please.
Oui, monsieur. Follow me.
Very well. Just a moment, Francois. I see someone I know at this table. Ah, so we meet again, mademoiselle, the beautiful American.
Why, it's Vincent Van Hope.
Oui, but I am no longer the struggling artist. Now I am one of the most famous men in the world, but I still feel the same way about you. Will you marry me?
Me? Marry you? Fool, pest, idiot, moron, imbecile.
You don't have to answer now. Think it over.
Oh, it's useless to talk this way. I'm engaged to another man, and I... Oh, this is he coming across the room toward us now.
Well, Vincent, what are you doing here?
So I've been double-crossed by my best friend.
Oh, Vincent, please, she is so beautiful, I could not help myself.
It is too late to apologize. This means a duel.
Oh, no, no, not a duel.
It is a matter of honor. We meet at sunrise with swords.
Vincent, I warn you, I am an expert swordsman.
And we'll use pistols.
We meet at sunrise in the Bois du Boulogne.
I don't know where it is, but I'll find it.
Gentlemen, you are met here to settle a question of honor. You know the rule.
I'm getting pretty sick of this line.
We. Now, you each have a pistol. You will stand back to back, then take 10 paces, turn, and fire. Are you ready, Monsieur André?
Oui. Vive la France!
And you, Monsieur Hope, are you ready?
Oui. Vive la Blue Cross plan.
All right, gentlemen, turn and fire! Monsieur Van Hoop, I congratulate you. You have won the duel.
Oh, you were magnificent. He shot so many bullets at you. Aren't you hurt?
Not even a scratch.
But how can that be? Is there something in your pocket that stopped the bullet?
Sure there is.
What is it?
You don't think I'd leave my Oscar at home, do you?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned to Yesterday from April 1st, 1953 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, if the ratings were any indication, it's sort of a wonder that the Jack Carson Show was canceled after its final broadcast on June 25th, 1947, of which we'll hear next. At the time, it was part of CBS's Wednesday night lineup at 8, drawing 12 million listeners a week. Though his competition at the time was the number one rated Bob Hope, drawing well over 30 million listeners a week to his program. Jack Carson is joined by special guest Bob Crosby in this final episode, next from CBS.
Mmm, good. Mmm, good. That's what Campbell soups are. Mmm, good.
From Hollywood, the Campbell Soup Show, starring Jack Carson. Yes, listen to Jack Carson, Freddie Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, Irene Ryan, and yours truly, Del Sharp. Well, folks, at many homes this time of year, people are getting ready to go on a vacation. It's no different at 22 North Hollywood Lane, and here doing his last-minute packing, we find Jack Carson.
Well, I've got 2 suitcases packed so far. How are you coming along with my Gladstone, Treacher?
Oh, just fine, so it's crammed full to the top.
Good. Oh, here's my razor. Treacher, have you got room for that in the Gladstone?
No, I'm afraid not, sir. I could hardly close the lid as it was.
Mm-hmm. What's in it?
2 pairs of socks and 400 pictures of yourself.
Well, we can certainly make room for my razor. Take out some of that stuff. What in the world do I want with all of those socks? Now, let's see. Have I got everything?
Well, I got all your underwear packed in this overnight bag, Uncle Jack.
Oh, thanks, Tugwell.
Gee, Uncle Jack, I'm sure glad we're going back east on the Chief. You know, I got the timetable right here, and we'll sure see some nice country.
Uh-huh.
Look, we go right through the Navajo Indian Reservation, and later on we stop at La Junta.
Navajo? Tug, well, I don't know what they teach you in school nowadays, but those are Spanish names. In Spanish, you pronounce the J like an H. It's Navajo and La Junta.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
Well, at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, we go through Hatsonville on our way to St. Joseph.
That's very amusing, Tug. Well, I suppose you think you're quite funny now. Will you stop trying to be a comic and go finish your packing?
Okay, Uncle Hack.
Oh, that Tug was exactly like other kids. Always trying to make a hoax. I mean, joke.
I mean... I beg your pardon, sir, but what about this brown bag with the three padlocks on it?
Well, don't worry about that bag, creature. That's all ready to go. I packed it myself.
You packed it, sir, but it's so light. What's in it?
Well, if you must know, it contains locks of my hair. I cut them off to distribute to the hundreds of lucky girls along the way.
Do you mean to tell me, sir, you cut off enough hair to fill an entire suitcase?
Well, I have a confession to make, Peter. That's, don't let this get around, but this is not all my hair.
Oh, it isn't, sir? Then,
no.
Then whose is it?
Well, I'm not going to say. I only hope I get out of town before the neighbor notices he now has a naked Cocker Spaniel.
You are the one, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh.
Imagine all the girls carrying a lock of your hair next to their hearts, and actually, they'd just be putting on the dog.
Yeah. There must be some way to start a filibuster against stuff like that. Just think, Treacher. Tomorrow night at this time, I'll be on my way to Milwaukee, my old hometown. I can see the headlines now. Welcome to Jack Carson, the boy who made Milwaukee famous.
May I ask, sir, just what you intend to do in a town like Milwaukee?
Well, I think I'll drop in on my old school teacher, and then I'm going to visit my old boss where I used to work. You know, when I left to come to Hollywood, he bet me $5 I wouldn't make good.
Yes. Wouldn't it be easier, sir, just to send him the $5?
You can laugh if you want it, Preacher, but I bet they've missed me around there. Oh, good. Preacher, will you see who that is at the door, will you? Now, let's see. What else should I bring? Oh, here's a police whistle. I better bring that in case some girl tries to overpower me in the train. I can call for help. Let's see now. Shirts, ties, socks.
Oh, it's Mr. Bob Crosby, sir.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Bob, it's certainly nice to see you, but just what brings you over here?
Well, haven't you heard, Jack? Next Monday, I'm starting a new show for the Camel people.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, gee, Bob, that's great, but... You know, Bob, it isn't easy to do a radio show for a company that's used to having a big movie star on the air.
I know, Jack. That's why I was so glad to work for the Campbell people.
Oh, dear, that's very good indeed.
Treacher, please. You'll have to forgive Treacher, Bob. He has a very peculiar sense of humor. But believe me, Bob, I do. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Well, thank you, Jack.
I suppose that since you're a musician instead of a big radio comedian, your program will be mostly music and no jokes.
That's right, Jack. Just like you've been doing.
This is another good one, sir.
Treacher, as long as you're working for me, I should think you'd laugh at what I say.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, sir.
Yes. Now, Bob, if there's anything I can help you with, I do hope that you'll let me know.
I say that's very good indeed.
You don't have to laugh every time I open my mouth. Just wait until I say something funny.
Oh, yes, I see. Well, will you be sure and let me know when that is, sir?
Stop.
Well, frankly, Jack, I'm not worried at all about the radio show. What I came over to talk to you about was my career in pictures.
Pictures? Why, you haven't got anything to worry about there, Bob. I've seen you in a lot of pictures, and I can honestly say that I have never seen you give a bad performance.
Well, thanks, Jack. I've seen you in a lot of pictures, too, and I've never seen you give a bad performance.
In fact, Bob, I've seen you give a lot of great performances. I say, Bob, I've seen you give a lot of great performances.
Mr. Crosby, there must be something you can say to keep the conversation going.
Please stop interrupting. But, Bob, just what is your problem with pictures?
Well, Jack, the last picture that I did was a Western, and I don't want to get typed. I kind of think that I can do the other kinds of parts, too.
Well, Bob, if you don't like to play those cowboy parts, what other kind did you have in mind?
Well, I don't know, Jack. It seems to me that I could play parts like you do in pictures.
Oh, you mean the debonair, polished, man-about-town parts, eh?
No, I mean those knuckleheads like you play.
Knuckleheads?
Why, sure. Lots of people think that you're the most natural dope on the screen today.
Is that so? Don't encourage him. He'll kill me. For your information, Robert, around Warner Brothers, I'm rated pretty high. In fact, Gregory Peck, Alan Ladd, and Humphrey Bogart are my contemporaries.
Yeah, I know. I've often heard them express great contempt for you.
Well, I hope you'll remember that.
Yes.
You shouldn't feel so badly about making westerns, Bob.
I know, Jack. But, gee, I'd like to hold a beautiful girl in my arms like you do. Gee, you kiss a different girl in every picture.
I do? Mm. Oh, yes, yes, I do. Bob, they have love interests in westerns, don't they?
Well, sure, Jack, they do, but there's quite a difference. You know, in your pictures, you kiss a strawberry blonde. But all I ever get to kiss is a strawberry roan.
I see what you mean. When you've kissed one horse, you've kissed them all.
But that's not the worst of it, Jack. That's really not so bad, but every time I'm in one of those westerns, they only give me one line to say.
Is that so? What's that?
Well, I say something like this. Come on, Tex. We'll be heading them off at the Gulch.
This is something you say in every picture?
Well, sometimes they change it a little. In my last picture, I said, come on, Slim. We'll head them off at the Gulch.
Well, that's quite a switch there. Yes, Bob. Well, at least you can depend on getting that one line to say. They're not giving that to anybody else. I remember I had one line to say once, and come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carson. Oh, you've got company.
Well, that's all right. Come on in, Miss Ryan. Bob, this is a friend of mine, Miss Ryan. Miss Ryan, this is Bob Crosby.
Not the Bob Crosby.
Yes, that's me.
Oh, I certainly enjoyed your father in that picture going my way.
Yeah, the old boy did all right.
Miss Ryan, not trying to change the subject or anything, but I must congratulate you on your appearance today. You seem to be so alive, so, how shall I say, exuberant. And how are you feeling, anyway?
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as could be expected.
Yeah, she has pains, you know, Bob.
Yes, I'm in agony every moment.
Well, maybe you're allergic to something.
Oh, there's no doubt of it. My doctor told me I'm allergic to everything. Now, you take my arteries, for example.
Miss Ryan, why don't you just keep your artery? Or, no. I don't think that Mr. Crosby is interested in your health.
Oh, but I am, Jack. I'd like to hear about it.
You fool, you.
All my life, I've been sensitive to changes in the weather. In fact, my friends all call me the human barometer.
Well, there is a certain resemblance around the temperate zone.
Now, you take when it's going to rain. I always know it a day in advance. Pains shoot up and down my right leg.
Oh, well, it must be a great relief to you when the weather clears up.
No. When it clears, the pains shoot up and down my left leg.
Well, that's too bad, Miss Ryan, but we were talking.
Last night was just sheer torture. The weather was so unsettled, my legs couldn't make up their mind.
Your legs couldn't make up their mind, huh?
No. As fast as one leg said, rain's a-coming, the other one started jumping around denying it.
Well, thanks for dropping by, Miss Ryan. I'd like to talk longer, but you know how it is with packing and everything. And...
Oh, that reminds me. I brought you a little going-away present. Of course, it isn't much, but I wanted you to have it.
Why, Miss Ryan, that's very thoughtful of you.
What is it, Jack?
Oh, just what I've always wanted. A box of assorted mustard plasters.
Yes, and see underneath, a year's supply of mustard.
Ryan, I'm really touched. Thanks again, and I'll think of you whenever I get a pain in the neck.
Likewise, I'm I'm sure. Goodbye, Mr. Carson. Goodbye, Mr. Crosby.
Goodbye, Miss Ryan.
Well, now, let's see. Where were we, Bob? Oh, yes, about your acting and your one line. I've got an idea.
What's that?
I'm sure you could get out of Westerns into other kinds of pictures if you could only sing.
Yeah, but, Jack, I do sing.
Oh, yes, you kick a few lyrics around every now and then, but I mean the higher type of singing. Like I do.
You want me to sing like you do?
Yeah, that's the idea, yes.
I think I'd be better off to stick with my one line.
Oh, I think you're only saying that because you've never heard me. Now, come on over to the piano, Bob. I'll show you what I mean. You see the... I wonder who that could be. Come in. Well, it's Del Sharman.
Hello, Jack.
Come on in. You know Bob Crosby, don't
you? Oh, hiya, Bob.
Hi, Del.
Hey, Del. Del, you're in for quite a treat. Bob and I were just about to sing a song. You see, he wants to better himself in the movies, and...
Why, this is a remarkable coincidence, Jack.
What? What, what? What? What?
It just so happens that I've written a song.
No!
Yes. And it just so happens that it's for three voices.
Well, miracles never cease.
And it just so happens that I have three copies in my pocket. There's a solo part with a duet. Of course, the duet is predominant.
The duet is predominant?
Yes. So I was thinking we could sort of run it through right here.
All right, Del. Bob and I will sing the duet, eh, Bob?
That's fine with me, Jack.
Now, you're sure the duet is predominant, eh, Del?
Oh, positively, Jack. Here's your copy, and Bob, here's yours. I'll start it off.
Well, what's the song about, Del?
Well, I think it might possibly, just possibly, mind you, have something to do with soup.
Why, Jack, how did you ever guess?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'm just lucky, that's all.
Ready, here we go.
Campbell's cream of mushroom soup fits right in with any group. People serve it every day from Maine to California.
Well, do you like it so far, Jack?
Well, it's just peachy, but where does the duet come in?
Oh, pretty soon now, don't worry.
But the duet is predominant, huh?
Oh, yes, Bob. All right, ready?
Ready.
Plump young mushrooms taste supreme, blended with sweet wholesome cream. Folks say spirits never droop with Campbell's cream of mushroom soup.
Now, this is where you come in, Jack.
Well, it's about time.
Ra-ra-bum-dee-a. Ra-ra-ra-bum-dee-a. Ra-ra-ra.
Wait a minute. One great song. All I say is boom.
Yeah, and all I get in is D-A.
Well, at least you got two words, Bob. Look at me. What can you do with a word like boom?
Oh, well, that was just the beginning, Jack. Now, we all join in on the second chorus.
Oh. Oh, well, that's different.
Ta, ra, ra, boom, dee. It's best in every way. Ta, ra, ra, boom, dee, oo. Good eating through and through. Ta, ra, ra, boom, dee, ow. You'll find it good and how. Ta, ra, ra, boom, dee, oop. Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. It's good.
And now the magic music of Freddie Martin. Gene Conklin whistles Horace Staccato. Thank you.
Jack, I'd better be running along now. When I dropped in, I didn't realize that you'd be so busy packing to go away.
No, stick around, Bob. Preacher and Tugwell are helping me with the packing.
Now, Jack, I'll see you before you go.
But Bob, I'm not leaving until late tonight from the Union Station.
Okay, Jack. I'll head you off at the depot.
Oh, gosh.
There I go again, Jack. That one line keeps popping out all
Bob,
the time.
Bob, I wouldn't worry about having just one line. You're too good an actor. Later on in films, you'll have more dialogue. Don't forget, a lot of big actors start out with just one line.
A lot of big actors? Who? Yeah,
well, just to mention one, the greatest actor on the American screen today started out with just one line.
Well, who was it?
And he fought his way up through thick and thin, through smoke and flame, through fog and smog. This was in California, you know.
Yes, Jack, but who? Who?
Me. I'll never forget when I first started.
Hey, I was... Jack, I got your suitcases all ready.
Well, Tugwell, do you know Bob Crosby? Bob, this is my nephew, Tugwell.
How do you do?
Oh.
Do you always laugh like that?
Oh, no. Only when Uncle Jack is talking. That's a rule around here.
Oh, Tugwell, never mind. I'm just telling Bob about how I started my career. You remember when I came on the stage and said one line?
Oh, you mean when you said, Mr. Hogan, please pass the tomatoes?
That's right. I had this one line, you see, Bob. Mr. Hogan, please pass the tomatoes. Mr. Hogan, please pass the tomatoes. Ah, what a night that was.
Well, what happened?
The audience beat Mr. Hogan to it.
Not, they were just a little over-enthusiastic, that's all. Besides, in those days, tomatoes looked pretty good to me. Of course, they still do. But, Bob, getting back to your acting, maybe if you tried different accents, you'd advance yourself.
Well, what do you mean, different accents?
Well, look at all the English actors who've made good over here. You know, like Ronald Coleman.
Yeah?
Pip-pip toodaloo. I say, old bean, I need some petrol for my fan.
That's Ronald Coleman?
Yep.
Look out, Uncle Jack. Here comes some more tomatoes.
Well, this doesn't concern you. Bob, you certainly couldn't lose anything by trying out my idea.
Well, I'd be glad to try it.
Oh, swell. Now, let's pretend that it's England in the spring. You're Reginald Farnsworth, a rich baronet, and you are madly in love with Lady Parkington. Now, remember, Bob, you speak with an English accent.
Okay, Jack, I'll try it.
All right, now, you're Reginald Farnsworth, and you come into the room and take Lady Parkington in your arms. You make ardent love to her and ask her to go away with you to India.
Okay. Lady Parkington, cheerio.
Oh, that's great, Bob. Keep it up, boy. Keep it up.
Lady Parkington, cheerio. Come on, Lady Parkington. We'll head him off at that jolly old...
No, Bob. What's all that Western talk in there? This is English. Look, I'll show you. Lady Parkington, if I were king... if I were king, I couldn't wish for a more precious jewel than you. Come with us, fly to India.
To India?
No, not India. India. Well, never mind, Bob. Perhaps you're not the Ronald Coleman type. But maybe you could play the part of Lady Parkington's father. He comes in and discovers the lovers eloping, and he says, Here. I say, are you there? That's it. That's fine. Then you become incensed, and you say, Come back, I say, come back. Where are you bound with Lady Parkington, you bounder? Scotland Yard, help! Tally-ho!
Okay, Jack, here goes. I say, are you there? Come back, you bounder. Scotland Yard. Tally-ho! Come on, Tex. We're going to head him off at Buckingham Palace. How was I that time, Jack?
You sound like a hop-along James Mason. Either that or you're ready for Freddy. But to tell you what, you better forget about English. How are you on French?
French? Oh, now you're talking my language, Jack. Oui, oui, chérie, ou la la, mademoiselle.
Oh, this will be better. Why didn't you tell me you spoke French? Now, let's try the same scene, only this time you are Pierre Dumont, the most romantic lover in all France. You come in the room and you take Miss Mademoiselle Cosette in your arms.
All right. Ah, ma petite Cosette. Shut the door. Shut the door.
Open the door, Robert. Now, tell her how much you love her, huh?
Mademoiselle, I love you. I love you with all my heart.
Ah, that's great. That's marvelous.
I love you like anything.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I tell you, ma'am, you got my heart thumping like a hound dog's leg in scratching season.
No, Bob. You've got to give it the Charles Boyer touch. Like this.
My pretty. Come with me into the garden. You are so lovely. You are très charmant. Il est du soin de moi, bichon, le voiture.
Jack, that's Charles Boyer?
Yeah.
Well, okay, partner, I'll saddle up my pinto and head you off at the Casbah. Yeah.
I guess we better forget about trying out accents, Bob.
I think so, too, Jack.
Look, I'll tell you what.
Well, excuse me, sir, but I thought I'd better remind you it's almost time to go to the train.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so you'd better hurry if you don't want to be late.
Well, Jack, I was just going anyway, and thanks a lot for all the pointers you gave me.
Well, don't mention it, Bob. So long, and good luck on your new radio show. What did you say you were going to do again?
Club 15 for Franco-American Spaghetti.
Oh, yes. Thank you for coming over tonight, and good luck to you, Bob Crosby.
Carson, if there's nothing else, I'll put the luggage in the car.
Okay, Treacher, is Tugwell ready?
Oh, yes, sir. Ma, you'll soon be in Milwaukee, won't you?
Yeah,
sir?
My old hometown. Treacher, I can't tell you how I'm looking forward to this trip. Just think, after all these years, the most famous movie star ever to come out of Milwaukee is returning at last.
Oh, is Mr. Dennis Morgan going with you, sir?
You know what I meant. It's a funny thing about life. No matter where a man was born, in a big city, in a small town, or even 80 miles from nowhere, there's always a thrill about going home.
Guess I'll go back home this summer. Should have gone there long ago. I wonder who I'll meet when I walk up Main Street. Who'll yell the first hello? Guess I'll go back home this summer. Mom will cry when I walk in. She'll brush away a tear as Dad says, "Look who's here. We're glad you're home again." After we've talked of everything, then I'll get a restless spell. I'll walk by the house where she used to live. I hope she married well. Guess I'll go back home summer, leave this daily grind behind. There's nothing wrong, I'm sure, that going home won't cure. I'll find my peace of mind when Dad begins to nod. And Mom beckons me, she wants me to see those baby shoes of mine. Guess I'll go back home this summer. Home Sweet Home's my favorite song. My folks will always be the heart and soul of me. I've stayed away too long.
Say, Mother, you want to serve a soup that'll really dress up family suppers and add an extra touch to company best meals? Then it's Campbell's Cream of Mushroom Soup for you and yours. Here's a wealth of flavor and good eating, ready when you please. Smooth and creamy, rich, grand for rounding out lunch or supper any day. A lavish, festive starter, too, for Sunday best occasions. Everybody enjoys it. The delicate flavor of young cultivated mushrooms, cream that's extra rich and sweet, and plenty of mushroom pieces. Good. No matter how many show up for meals, no matter when they show up, you'll get meals underway in great shape if you'll serve America's luxury soup. Remember Campbell's Cream of Mushroom Soup tomorrow.
Good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Good.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The time has come to lock up 22 North Hollywood Lane and say goodbye to all our friends and neighbors for the summer. I'd like to thank my writers, my cast, my production staff, my sponsor, and of course you, you wonderful people, for listening to us. Have a pleasant summer, and until we meet again, good luck. Goodbye.
The Jack Carson Show on Tuned to Yesterday, the final broadcast in that four-year running series from CBS, heard on June 25th, 1947. That wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.